off the ball, GAA.
The load management thing definitely wasn't the same then. But when you're young, you can kind of just, ignorance can get you through at times. But I actually think I got better as well when I got out of college in, because I didn't have that extra stimulus of playing college.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we look back at last night's action in the Premier League as Arsenal missed the chance to go 7 points clear at the top. Newcastle win big away from home in the Champions League, and we look ahead to tonight's action in the Europa and Conference League. But first, Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says it's time for his players to stand up in the Premier League title race after being held to a 2-2 draw away to bottom side Wolves. The Gunners threw away a 2-0 lead at Molineux and missed the chance to go 7 points clear of Manchester City. Instead, the lead is 5 and City have a game in hand. Arteta says the result adds to the significance of Sunday North London derby against Tottenham.
When they have a moment of difficulty, like and we feel really frustrated with ourselves, you have the perfect game against the Spurs away to go and show how much we want it and how good we are. That's it. That's what we have to do. Talk on the pitch.
Arteta added his team only have themselves to blame for throwing away that 2-goal lead.
Any question, any criticize, any opinion, you have to take it on the chin today. I mean, that's it. Any hit, any bullet, take it, because we didn't perform at the level that is required. So anything that anybody says can be right, because we didn't do what we had to do.
A reminder, you can hear that North London derby on Off the Ball this Sunday. Kickoff is 4:30. Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr will have live commentary from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's one of two games this weekend. The other game is the 2:00 kickoff between Nottingham Forest and Liverpool. Now, Wolves boss Rob Edwards hopes they can rebuild a connection with their fans after coming from 2-0 down. There were some jeers from the home crowd when they went behind at Molineux, but Edwards says he'd rather focus on the full-time cheers.
It's down to us to perform, but also we're up against Arsenal at the moment, who are top of the league, who are really difficult to score against, really difficult to play against, top of the Champions League, wherever that qualifying was. I watched them, what they did to Bayern Munich. They're an unbelievable football team. For us to do that tonight is very, very special.
Wolves are still 17 points adrift of safety despite their improved fortunes. Edwards says he's encouraged by their recent form, though.
3 defeats in 11 games, you know, and 2 of those were against Chelsea and City. So we're actually doing all right. I know there's draws in there and, you know, we would like to win more games, but we're competing well against a lot of teams. I know the narrative at the moment, we're bottom of the league and we are struggling in the league, you know, and the lads are fighting.
Newcastle boss Eddie Howe says they'll treat the second leg of their Champions League tie with Karabag professionally. They have a 6-1 lead after the first leg in Azerbaijan last night. Anthony Gordon scored 4 goals in the first half. They were 5-0 up at half-time. Howe says they won't tolerate any drop in standards when the two sides meet again at St James's Park next week.
We fully respect Karabag. We know what a good team they are. I've watched, as I said yesterday, I watched them loads in preparation for this game. They've got some very good players. We will take the second game very, very seriously.
Howe added that he believes the success in Baku will do plenty of good for his squad.
Yeah, I think there's always those moments when we win and we're able to share with our supporters. We haven't done it enough away from home. Our away form has been difficult this season. So to win 3 games in a row on our travels has been a major boost for us. I thought it was an outstanding first half performance, probably our best in a long time, and I'm delighted for all the players.
Elsewhere in the Champions League last night, Bodo Glimt continued their fairy tale form with a 3-1 win at home to last season's beaten finalists Inter. Club Brugge and Atletico Madrid drew 3-3 in Belgium, and Bayer Leverkusen won 2-0 away to Olympiakos.
Here it comes, opportunity, O'Reilly! The League of Ireland is back this Friday night, done Off the Ball, whatever the weather.
Can you believe it?
A team of distinction and real big spenders, Derry City host Bohemians after their 4-goal haul last weekend.
An instant response from Derry.
Can City get off to a good start for a change, or will Bowes get that loving wheeling?
Back pass here, Colin Whelan has scored for Bohemians!
There's sure to be fireworks on Foyle side. Join us on Off the Ball this Friday from 7 p.m. on News Talk or the Goal Out app for live and exclusive commentary of Derry City versus Bohemians.
A beautiful finish!
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
No chance, 2-2. Kempis' second goal, and Shilton was left without a hope.
Mario Kempes, the star of Argentina's first World Cup triumph in 1978, scored a whopping 303 goals over the course of his career, which included spells at Valencia, Rosario Central, River Plate and Instituto. But what if his career had taken a different path and ended up at Spurs? Well, just years after helping his nation win their first World Cup, he nearly joined his fellow countrymen in Ozzy Ardiles and Ricky Villa at the North London club. But why didn't the deal get over the line? Well, in episode 4 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors, Richie explains why the transfer didn't come to fruition for one of the best strikers in the world of the 70s and 80s. Find this week's episode in your OTB Football podcast feed for free each and every Monday. You can also go back and listen to the other episodes in this series focusing on Michael Laudrup, Pelé and Ronaldo. Subscribe in your OTB Football podcast feed now.
Celtic manager Martin O'Neill says their Europa League playoff tie with Stuttgart will be a major test for his side. The Scottish champions host the German club in Glasgow this evening before next week's away leg. O'Neill's expecting a tricky tie.
Stuttgart are flying at this moment. They're fourth in the Bundesliga. They're in a Champions League position. I had a look at them. Obviously, they're very strong, physical, and got a lot of good players playing for them. So they'll be difficult games for us. But while we're there, just let's go for it.
It'll be a landmark night for Martin O'Neill. The 73-year-old will take charge of his 1,000th match as a manager. O'Neill says when it comes to this European competition, they have to take it one challenge at a time.
When you start off, I think you dream about the final and then reality hits you very, very quickly. I wouldn't have thought that we would be thinking in this competition with the teams that are still left in it, including our opponents tomorrow night. Well, I wouldn't even know where the final is. Where is that? Eastern? Well, it's a long way away.
Nottingham Forest boss Vitor Pereira hopes to make an instant impact when he takes charge for the first time tonight. The Premier League strugglers are away to Fenerbahce for the first leg of their Europa League playoff. Pereira is confident the players will take to his style of management from the off.
If you buy the idea and you buy the person and open mind to receive the information and to go there and to work hard together, it's possible to achieve what we want.
Forest midfielder Morgan Gibbs-White says the squad remains united despite being on their fourth manager of the season. Gibbs-White feels they're well equipped to adapt to the new manager's approach.
Players come and go, managers come and go. So I think it's important that us as players, we have to stick together in the moment. But no, like I said, obviously since the new manager's come in, it's been really exciting.
Elsewhere in the Europa League this evening, Robbie Keane's Ferencváros are in Bulgaria to take on Ludogorets. Crystal Palace continue their first ever European campaign with a trip to Bosnian side Zrinjski in the first leg of their Conference League playoff. Palace boss Oliver Glasner will have to do without midfielder Jefferson Lerma, who's expected to miss around 3 weeks due to the injury he picked up in last week's Premier League loss to Burnley. Elsewhere in the Conference League, Troy Parrott is expected to be in action for AZ Alkmaar, who are in Azerbaijan to take on FC Noah. Arsenal continued the defence of their Women's Champions League title with a 7-1 aggregate win over Belgian side Leuven. They won the second leg at home by 3-1. It sets up a London derby with Chelsea in the quarterfinals. Tonight, Manchester United have a 3-0 lead heading into the second leg of their knockout clash with Atletico Madrid. And United boss Mark Skinner says despite their lead, it'll be a tough game.
We're preparing to go and win the game. Like, we have to give absolutely everything. There's only one game that matters, and that's that game. So that's the mindset. There isn't any 3-0. It's not the cliche, but it's 0-0, and we have to start the game properly.
There was another episode of Koi Gig this week with Kathleen McNamee, Scarlett Heron and Karen Duggan. And with the announcement of Carla Ward's Ireland squad earlier this week, the trio debated who could make an impact in the upcoming qualifiers against France and the Netherlands.
I thought there was something interesting that Carla said in the press conference today, and she was talking about that behind closed doors game in Marbella, which obviously isn't very fruitful for us as fans and pundits and analysts trying to work out where this team is at, because it has been a big enough gap since the last time we saw them all together. But she was talking about a very weird way she worded it. She was like, I learned that I didn't like something that we probably would have used. And everyone in the room was like, what does that mean? And that slightly struck fear in me because of when she came in and the way that she set up the team. Do you think that both her and the team, I suppose, have matured at this rate? And like, obviously she recognised it in Marbella, it didn't work, so it's not going to be used now. But do you think the learnings are there to make sure that we don't have any of those rogue moments again?
Yeah, I suppose when I was reading that earlier, I kind of was brought back to a few months ago when we had that terrible night in Slovenia. And I was kind of thinking, if she had had a game maybe before that to figure things out, would she have probably gone the way she did that night? That could have been avoided. But yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to know, I suppose, what that thing was. I'm assuming it's something to do with maybe the way they pressed or the way they were building out. Like, I'm assuming it was just sort of a tactical thing. So, I mean, it's good that she
said it was
game.
An out of possession strategy, but she wouldn't go any further than that.
Well, I suppose if it's a press that's not working against Hungary, I doubt it would work against the likes of France. And
yeah, so what we're saying is we're not pressing high anytime soon, so don't even expect
Yeah,
that's fine.
It is fine. I mean, we have to figure out our own way to play against these teams. And if we go back to, you know, Vera Power a few years ago, it was a really effective way of playing against big teams was to sit in a block of five at the back and to sort of absorb pressure. And that's, I mean, we're a nation that's known for doing things like that. So, I mean, by all means, if it means we can get a result against France at home, like, I'll take it, you know. So,
yeah, and again, maybe that speaks to the makeup of the team as well, that you know, us pressing high, does that leave our back line a bit exposed? We've got some really good footballers in there, really good defenders. Are they the quickest in the world? No. So why would we give someone an opportunity like that that would be easily exploited? So again, it took her a while to get to know our players, but Scarlett, I think you're right. I think we can kind of, you have to take the learnings.
That's available to listen back for free in your OTB football podcast feed. Now, Spanish football writer Dermot Corrigan joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night to talk about the racism row currently going on between Benfica and Real Madrid. And here Corrigan explains how Jose Mourinho could never take the reins at Real again.
A stadium where Vinicius plays, something happens. Always. Jose Mourinho really putting the blame in Vinicius Junior's court here.
It's a diversionary tactic, or it's a way of turning it around and trying to blame the victim in this. If you don't like how Vinicius behaves, there's loads of ways to call him out about it, to argue with him about it. But if you cross the line into racist abuse, then it's just can't happen. It's just unacceptable. I think what's happened over the last couple of weeks, and especially last night, shows kind of to Madrid fans what happens. Maybe what Mourinho is really like when he's doing it for you on your side, you can excuse it a little bit. When you see what he's like from the view of an opposition to him, you realise how toxic it can be at times, I would say, and how toxic it was last night. So he was talking a good game of putting himself in the frame to be the Madrid manager again just before the game at the pre-match press conference, talking about what a great connection he had to the club, how much he valued his time there and how close he was to Arbeloa, the current Madrid coach and Madrid president and directors at the club that he was still in touch with. I think it's very unlikely that he's going to return to be Madrid manager after what happened last night. He was 100% on the Benfica side. I think as long as Vinicius Junior's in the Madrid team and Mbappe and these guys, there's no chance of Mourinho coming back to be the Madrid manager.
And if you want to listen to any of our football coverage back, you can do so now by becoming a member and signing up at offtheball.com/join. Drogheda United sponsors Sullivan and Lamb issued a statement of support for co-chairperson Joanna Byrne and say they will be actively reviewing their position as sponsors of the club in the coming days. Deputy Byrne's party, Sinn Féin, said that the board had asked her to resign for her view that Ireland shouldn't play Israel in the Nations League later this year. Drogheda released a statement before the one from the sponsors to say no changes have been made to the club's board. However, the club emphasised there was a concern raised over what they had described as open criticism of UEFA and the FAI. The Premier Division club is owned by the US-based Trivella Group. And remember, our League of Ireland commentaries are back this Friday. You can listen to live and exclusive commentary of Derry City against Bohemians. It's 7 o'clock on Off the Ball on News Talk, and it's also available on the Go Loud app. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.